Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, issues you feel and see as you walk the sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we're going to be discussing keeping an open mind. So please feel free to participate or to just listen. So let me introduce my co-host, Kat Edwards. Kat, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you, David. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Yeah, it's a very gloomy day here, and we've been having high winds, which are supposed to continue tonight, and with snow, too, so I'm not looking forward to that. But otherwise, all is well.
No, that's good. Well, we've had a lot of rain here as well. It's been the drought looks to have been broken in the western country, which is so good for the farmers. So I'm very pleased about that.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, let's see. You are into early, almost into summer there.
We are in summer, yes. We're in December, so we're in summer. Yeah.
Wow.
And it is starting to heat up, and we're starting to get the crazy squally summer storms.
Well,
so we're in the tropics, and it can get pretty wild.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Well, the weather is one thing we don't have too much that we can control. In fact, little that we can control other than how we react to it. So I guess we need to keep an open mind about that.
And, well, I suppose so.
And keeping an open mind has to do with a willingness to listen or accept different ideas or opinions. So it helps people avoid traps like judgment and not growing. I think it's important to keep an open mind if I'm going to continue to grow in different ways. What do you think?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Sorry, I'm just getting my breakfast while we're talking. So if you hear some crumpling sound, it's what it is. I agree. I want to remain somebody who learns and grows. And if I can't learn and grow, then I don't feel like I'm having a full life experience. And the only way to do that is, you know, to keep an open mind about everything that's going on around me and about the wisdom that may come to me and how that is packaged so that I can still navigate this funny little lifetime I'm living and do it well enough that I can enjoy it.
I like that. I know it's been very important for me to keep an open mind. In my past, I had a closed mind around certain things, and some of them were things that I judged about myself. For instance, I did not think that being gay was a good thing, and I kept that as a big, dark secret to myself, and it caused me a lot of pain. So keeping a closed mind can really work against you, and it can create anxiety. It can create all kinds of difficult situations. And it's much better, if you can do it, to try to be open-minded. I think that it stimulates things like curiosity, being able to challenge yourself in different ways, and letting go of judgment and frustration and anxiety and all kinds of things like that. Now, there are a lot of synonyms for being open-minded. Some of them are being liberal, tolerant, receptive, broad-minded, adaptable, enterprising. So it's... It encompasses a lot, actually. And to me, it encompasses life. What do you think, Kat?
Yeah, I think you're right there. It does encompass so much. And it takes a strong person at times to remain open, especially when you're being pushed to have a certain mindset by others that you feel are important to you in your life. And you want to make them happy, but you have to stand your ground. That can be hard if you're an open-mindedated person and they're not. It's so hard, I think, to have a conversation with someone who's closed-minded, you know, like in an official setting, when you're approaching life in a certain way, and that isn't necessarily the way that they've been taught to approach it. For example, I had a meeting yesterday with a surgeon, and I told him about my naturopath, and I knew I had an 80% chance that he would begin to look down his nose at me and treat me like I was some sort of fool because I had a naturopath in my life helping me with my medical care. But I decided that I would persist anyway because it's my body, my health, and I actually get more results out of working with a naturopath or a natural doctor. I think you guys call them natural doctors in the US. Than I do with somebody who's only practiced allopathic medicine. So I was not going to allow that person to keep their closed mind if they were going to and try and impress that closed mind upon me. But I was really pleased to see he didn't flinch and he just agreed. And then so because He did that. I was then able to tell him that my naturopath actually was supportive of my operation and blah, blah, blah. So I think if you're an open-minded person, it can be hard to be around closed-minded people because you've really got to tiptoe at times, which can be hard. Do you think? How do you find?
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, especially if they're people that are important to me. If they're not important to me, I can stand my ground a little bit better for whatever reason. I think that it is an opportunity to be more assertive and to stand up for myself and my own beliefs and opinions. And yet... If I'm going to be open-minded, I have to listen to other people's beliefs and opinions. And that is the challenge for me and for anybody that wants to remain open-minded. When it comes to people that are close to me, I find that I need to pull back a little bit, and it just is more of a challenge. I don't know what else I was going to say about that.
It is a challenge when you're around someone who's closed-minded. But I think the thing that's helped me with that is to ask myself, how did they come to their conclusion? Did they come to their conclusion from their own research and their own opinion and their own experience? Or did they come to their conclusion because of what someone else told them to think?
Mm.
And nine times out of ten, the closed-minded person is closed-minded because someone else told them to think that way. And therefore, they're handicapped. It's a limitation. And so that removes my need to be right in their eyes from me. And I then look at them with, I suppose, pity, because they have not got their own mind for themselves. Their mind is controlled by someone else. So a truly open-minded person truly does not have anyone else tell them how to think. They think for themselves, and they come to the conclusions based on facts that they've researched themselves rather than on hearsay that somebody else told them. And I mean, like, even with things that are going on in history at the moment, there's a lot of information that's flying around. But a part of being an open-minded person is learning about both sides of the story, learning about why one side feels one way and one side feels another, and then from there, making your mind up about where you stand, rather than going along where somebody else says you should think this and you should be in fear or you should be happy or you should be sad or you should be this or should be that. That you should phrase. I'd never trust anyone who tells me what I should and shouldn't be thinking or feeling or doing. And so I'd rather just say thanks, but no thanks, and I'll go and learn everything I can about the way that you're thinking and decide for myself. And that gives me an inner fortitude that I know the other person doesn't have because they've not had the strength of character to do it.
Mm. You know, I was also thinking in terms of being in relationship with a closed-minded person that in order for me to even remain open in those circumstances, I have to agree to disagree and let go. It's important for me to show respect to another person, and sometimes challenging them is not the best thing in the world to do. I think that I would rather be happy than be right. And I'm in relationship with somebody that tends to not be quite as open as me. And so I need to respect that person and what may have brought them to the state that they're in and show compassion and not judge. I keep coming back to that. It's really important for me not to judge, because how can I make a judgment about somebody unless I've lived their life? And so that's something else that I was thinking about.
Well, that's right. Walk a mile in their shoes and then decide for yourself.
Right.
No. Could they really, how do you know until you either sit and actually listen to them talking about their life and you listen with respect and humility and with an open attitude, or you just stand back and judge them because you can't actually walk their life. But you can be there for them and listen to them, and then that'll actually help you grow, no matter how difficult that life was.
Right. It's interesting. It's a challenge to remain open-minded when I disagree with somebody else, or even for me to judge that person as closed-minded, I may be able to see that in general they don't tend to be as open as I am. But it's a judgment if I look at them as being closed-minded and don't try to look at things from their perspective. There are different ways to remain open-minded. One of them is to embrace the unknown and to see things from multiple perspectives, not to knock anything before you try it, to mix up your routine, to read more, open yourself to more ideas, travel as much as you can. And there's one thing here that's it talks about in terms of how to remain open-minded that I like and hadn't thought of for myself, and that was to focus on the positives. And we've often talked about how positive thinking leads us in a more positive direction. And so if I'm going to focus on the positives, that's one way that I can avoid judgment. That's one way that I can look at whether or not something that I had previously thought might not serve me well actually might. And again, that takes me back to not knocking anything before I try it.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing is don't knock it before you try it. And one of the things I like about being me is that I'm adventurous with food, and I didn't really even realize I was adventurous with food until I found myself eating something that I'd never eaten before, and it was the second or third time that week. And I went, oh, I just dive in. When I was a little girl, I used to be afraid of different foods. But these days, I'm open-minded towards food. And as long as it doesn't look or smell like it's going to kill me, I'll have a chop at it. It's either going to be disgusting or fantastic or in between. So why not just dive in and have a go?
There you go.
So that's one way that I keep an open mind is with food. And it's also, you know, it's a social thing. And you don't stagnate if you're always trying something new, or you take the opportunity to try something new when it comes your way if it's not something that you can do a lot of. And then again, you grow. It's like if you keep an open mind, you keep the pathway to growth open. If you close your mind, your pathway is stunted. And the other thing that seems to go hand in hand with an open mind is compassion. And I think that's because you can't really have an open mind without having a care. Like, if you think about people who don't have compassion and don't care, like someone on that spectrum of narcissism to psychopath, their minds are quite close to only thinking about themselves and the issues that they have to deal with. So it's an unfortunate disposition that they have. And whereas if you're empathic and sympathetic and you have an open mind, that highest form of love is compassion, and that really flows. That's so much easier for you to deal with. And there's so much that you can achieve and you can learn. And other people and what they're going through, it becomes something that you want to help, and it's an enriching experience. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this.
Why do you think that some people are closed-minded?
I think there's a couple of different reasons, David. I think one of it's fear.
Yeah, I think fear is a big one.
Yeah, I think fear, I don't want to know, I'm too afraid of that thought, no, it's fear. As I said, there's what other people told them to think. I mean, you'll find that majority of people who are negative towards someone who does readings like me, if you really start to question them, they'll tell you that they don't have their own opinion. They only have the opinion that somebody else told them to think. So that, I think, is a fear, and other people's thoughts in your head are the two main reasons people remain closed-minded. And I would say along with that goes, if somebody has had a poor experience, then it is often, not always, that some people will think that all people of that sect, that vocation, that mindset or whatever, are in the same basket. So it is another form of fear, but it's also judgment, and it is what keeps them from knowing many wonderful people who are not in that basket. So you need to, if you're finding yourself in that state of closed-mindedness, which is only allowing your opinion to be broadcast back to you from the consciousness, it can be your comfort zone. It can be frightening to have that comfort zone taken away, but at some point your worldview will be challenged. And when that happens, you will have to open your mind to some degree and grow, because the universe can't have you staying stagnant. Life just can't be like that.
No, I agree with that. Here's some suggestions for ways that you can be more open. The things that I was reading here. One is to make your outside behavior the same or congruent with your inside feelings and thoughts. And that seems to be very important in order to have any sense of integrity. I've got a kitty cat that is blocking my view. Hey, fella. I think it's important to be as consistent as you can be as possible. Then to focus on your feelings is another way that you can be more open. To communicate in the first person, to use I statements instead of you. You know, it's so easy to fall into the trap when you're in a relationship of almost blaming statements like, you're making me mad. Nobody can make me mad except myself. And a lot of the reasons that I may feel anger come from maybe closing myself off to some notion that I think I know what's right, instead of keeping an open mind and listening to the other person and their perspectives. If I'm going back to that statement of, you're making me mad, it might better serve me to say, I'm feeling angry over what you're doing, over what you're saying, and to be specific. And then it also says, try not to say, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. There I'm saying, I don't know. I think that there are times when I just don't know, and I think it's important to put that forward. And maybe I'll learn something in that instance. What do you think, Kat?
Look, I apologize. I've got some family members down here. I was trying to get away from them making noise, so I didn't catch everything that you said then.
Well, one of the ways that I read about is a way to be more open is to try not to say I don't know. I kind of get that, but I don't know that that's always the way to go.
Yeah, well, sometimes saying I don't know is really because you don't know.
That's right.
And that's a point.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's a point where you can start to grow a little bit, and you know, challenge yourself to discover a new way of thinking about something.
Yeah, yeah. I think when people get involved in a big institution, and that institutional mindset is agreed upon in throughout many institutions, it can lead to a consistent mindset which remains closed because that institution may consider itself to be superior or that its way is the only way, and then they don't know. They don't know. In fact, they've closed themselves off from learning so much that could open themselves that they get to a point where they actually make themselves look bad every time they continue with this same perspective, that they're the superior one and they're the better one. So you can have people who are learning about new things, but they're not learning about the incredibility of what the whole gamut of everything is to learn about, because they're closed off from having a new perspective that challenges the one that they've got. I can think about when I was a kid, and I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about when I was a kid. The attitude towards the First Nations people, the Aboriginal people of Australia, were that they were sort of childlike in the way that they had lived their lives, and they were not civilized. And the story of the Dreamtime, which was their way of having understanding about the way the earth was made and the universe, and therefore also their spirituality, was, you know, a little second rate, and also to be looked at as if it was innocent, but really not something we would take seriously. And so if I was a closed-minded person and I allowed myself to have that mindset with these people, I would have remained thinking that the teachers that I had were right and that I was the superior person because I didn't think in that path, and I hadn't been involved in, you know, rubbing two sticks together to make wood, make fire, and living out in the bush and eating witchy grubs and you know, using bark to for remedies and what have you. And but I had this other thing that was going on, which was I was going home and I was turning on the television to the Australian Broadcasting Service, ABC, Australian Broadcasting Corporation. And they had children's shows in the afternoon. And here I'd watched Dreamtime Stories, which were really, really interesting, really, really well told. And I just loved the way that they saw things. I loved it, the way that they, the little stories that they told, and the analogies. And I got right into the depth of all of that, and it made so much sense to me. And then as I grew, I started to hear other little stories and analogies from other spiritual teachings, and I liked that style. And so I always had a respect for the dream time. And so if I'd taken this academic superiority point of view towards the dream time, I would never have understood the incredible depth of it. And I still don't understand the incredible depth of it, I must say. I have not been taught enough to understand it. But that doesn't mean I don't want to. Of course I want to. but that there's an example of a time in my life where I had that thinking of other people and my own experience, and I made my own mind up. And, you know, I was just a little kid. But I certainly started to view Aboriginal people as people who had the ability to have wonder. And then we were also going out camping and went to a lot of the art galleries, the Aboriginal art galleries. Now, they're not in a box, in a house, in a room, you know, in a building. They're out in the bush in natural cave formations, where they've drawn the spirit people, and they've drawn the people who've come off planet, and they've drawn their hands, and they've chewed up ochre, which is just a type of sandy loam that you can get from different soft rocks, and mixed it with water and a bit of spit, and then blasted it out of their mouths and created, you know, their own graffiti, which is their handprint. But they've actually got in and used it to paint as well. And I love that, you know, because they took the resources that they had at the time. They showed intelligence. They showed culture. And so how could I think myself superior to them? So I don't know where I'm going with this, just that the closed-mindedness of others does not have to affect you even when you're a child. If you have a different experience of someone or of something, you should stand in that. Have the courage of your conviction.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I was thinking about some of my early childhood experience around race. We have a big problem continuing in this country to the day as far as racial issues go, racial justice. And as a child, going back over 60 years, times were even more challenging around race. I mean, there was still segregation, and a lot of judgment around people who are different than myself, and specifically I'm talking about African Americans who were called Negroes in those days. I couldn't understand it because I had a woman who was a black grandmother to me. She had been instrumental in my mother's life. She had been her nanny, and she was like a member of the family. And I didn't see where there was any difference between her and me. And so when I started to be exposed to the hate and judgment that existed for many people around black people, it was very confusing to me how anybody could be so mean to somebody else or treat somebody with such disrespect or downright hate. So that was something that really challenged my... It challenged me to consider, and I can't say that I was doing this in childhood, but as I grew older, it challenged me to look at some of the ways that I might have viewed people with judgment around different sorts of things than race. You know, there are a lot of benefits to being open-minded. You can gain insight by challenging your existing beliefs and then opening yourself to new ideas. It can give you fresh insights about the world and teach you new things about yourself. I think that's a wonderfully freeing position to take, and it can lead to all kinds of new experiences. You can achieve personal growth. I mean, we talked about lessons that are in every experience that we have along the way. And if I'm not open to growing, if I'm not open to new ideas, I'm going to stagnate. And life is going to become less rich, less colorful. You can become mentally strong, you can feel more optimistic, you can learn all kinds of new things. These are all benefits of being open-minded. And I like to think of myself as someone who is on a quest, we're all on a journey. But I like to think of myself as a creative individual who can continue to grow and experience all the richness that life has to offer. So I challenge people that are listening today. I wish we had some input from some callers. I keep checking back to the studio, and we haven't had any today, and that's okay, too. But those of you who are listening to the podcast, I challenge you to remain open to new experiences and see what a difference that can make in your own life. Let's see here. Here are five ways that you can be more open. Again, being congruent with your inside feelings and thoughts. I already went through this. How about how to develop an open mind? Here's some ideas that you can consider. One is to embrace and express what you're closed-minded about, and recognize that some things aren't changing when you stay in that spot. Things are going to stagnate if you don't open yourself and challenge yourself. Arguing for the other side, that's an interesting thought. Let's see. include those that you exclude. Well, that to me speaks a little bit about what I was talking about earlier with regard to my my black grandmother. To try to go with somebody else's plan, and here's a biggie, and that is to stop controlling. It's so easy to fall into that trap, especially within relationships, I have found. I'm not sure what I was going to say. I don't know. Can you think of some other ways to develop an open mind, Kat?
Yeah, just simply being willing to accept other people's angles and points of view. And, when I think about it, I think about the push over the last 5 years, here in Australia anyway, it is 6:40 in the morning, I've been up since 5. I think about the inclusiveness that has come into the culture here towards people with disabilities, that the anti-discrimination laws that have then been taken further by people, so that we now have TV presenters in wheelchairs and we have a normalization of people who have body challenges, that we used to shun them away and keep them private so that we didn't have to be offended by looking at them. Now, there's more of an open mind towards people like that, and that then allows us to really grow. And I think that they've had some ambassadors. There's a comedian called Steady Eddie who, I think he had palsy. I can't remember off the top of my head. He was around when I was in my teens. And he'd get up and do his routine, and he would be hilarious. But he would have a lend of himself as well and laugh at his own limitations. And it made it a relief that you didn't have to not mention it. And that he was like, yeah, I'm shaky, I drool a bit, this is who I am. And for the rest of us, that was a relief. And then it promoted an acceptance and an inclusion of people like that, not to push them away and find them hard. And so now there's more and more of a willingness to accept people who are different. So seeing things from different angles and viewpoints allows you to accept more. And, you know, if it wasn't for people like Steady Eddie, I don't know if we would be in this good place we're in now. But just because you're suffering from an illness doesn't mean you shouldn't get a job. You know, if that illness is not contagious and it's contained and, you're going and working actually distracts you from it and you would prefer to, why couldn't you? You can still excel while you're dealing with whatever issue you're dealing with. If you have a challenge, you can still move forward through that. That's one of the beauties of being an adult. So, yeah, that's so important, that willingness to accept from different angles. Also, closed-minded people won't embrace change very well. And that comes from different reasons. My son, being autistic, doesn't embrace change very well. He's better now as an adult than he was as a kid. But he had a particular disposition that you would have to work with to help him to embrace change. Other people just like to stay in their comfort zone and they don't want anything new to happen. Anything new is a challenge and that makes them feel angry. So those people need to start to be more spontaneous and accept change as part of life rather than want it all to be the same forever. Also, allowing yourself to have a high level of curiosity is really important. It's one of the things that they teach you when you do a course about becoming a coach, is that you must stay in a state of curiosity when you're speaking to a client, because you're looking for subtext, you're looking for clues in what they're saying to help them to unravel the issue that they have at hand. And so you've got to have your detective hat on, and you're gathering, your clue gathering from the moment they walk through the door. You're observing them. You're observing the way their body is, the way their clothes are, if they're a bit disheveled or if they're extremely neat as a pin. You're noticing the air, the smell of the air around them. Do they have a particular smell? Maybe that's because of the things that they eat. Maybe it's because they're unwell and they don't realize it. There could be a variety of things. And then when they sit down, how do they sit down? That can tell you a lot about a person as well. Before they've even opened their mouth, you can learn so much about the way their body presents and the way they walk in and sit down. Once they've sat down, they start talking, then you're still learning about them, but your clue hunting is on a higher level. So you've got to remain curious. It's not judging them if you're getting a full picture of who they are. It's a curious observation. We talked about willingness to try new things, and that sometimes those new things can be scary, sometimes not. But go out to dinner to a new place, make new friends, get a new hobby, try something new. You often say to the graduates who come to me through my postgraduate program I run, if they don't know what specific style of counselling they'd like to do, to go out and get volunteering in several different styles of counselling and learn which one they like. They'll soon find out which one they excel at and which one they don't. And then that's the direction to go. Oh, excuse me, I need to have a coffee.
That's all right.
We talked about not judging. So don't judge if you're wanting to be more open-minded. And that's a bit of a grey area, isn't it, David, because we all judge. And we're actually, I think our brains are set up to judge. And we're set up to judge so that we can protect ourselves. Because if somebody's doing something irrational or erratic and you judge it that they're not safe, then, you know, you're going to keep yourself and your young away from them. And you need to have a certain amount of judgment to decide whether or not somebody is safe. That's usually, I think, you know, on a nature level, why we have that in us. But getting in the habit of just judging everyone because they're not like you is pretty poor. Don't do that if you can help it. Because how boring would the world be if there was just clones of you? Or just clones of your tribe. The whole world would just be so boring. It's much better to be enlightened about somebody and the way that they live their life, and therefore enriched, than it is to be held off from that. And you might find that because you have put judgment aside, you'll actually learn something about life and a new way to do it, and that'll be fun. So Another thing is that allow other people to have their opinion and be open to those opinions, even if those opinions in your mind are completely wrong. It's still important that you remain open to those opinions. And you'll be able to tell if somebody's steadfast on that opinion or if they're not. And if they're not, don't try and manipulate them into thinking the way you're thinking, but encourage them instead to investigate for themselves. Encourage them to grow on their own terms rather than on the terms of somebody else. We need to respect people's differences as well. So that means that you see the person, you don't see the race. The race is there, but you know, so what? It's not the big deal anymore. It's a it's an interestingness, what they bring to you. And so say for example, if I was to meet an Indian person today, which would be highly likely in Australia, I'm going to meet that person as a person first. Their culture and racial background is secondary to them being an individual who has their own wants, needs and desires. So respect of people's differences and be open to them. And don't label people such as ugly or cheapskate or, you know, something else like that. Don't use those sorts of tags if you're really, truly not wanting to stump your growth. Which is stunts your growth, I should say, which is what closed-minded people do. I mean, if you're closed-minded, you're stunting your growth. Instead, try and learn about people's differences. Tell me about you is a great one. You know, where do you come from? Oh, wow, tell me about that. What's some of your challenges there and what's some of the things that are fantastic? Learn about them. And I think that this is something that just keeps coming up again and again. Living in the present, David, that's something that we always talk about. I think we talk about that in every show, don't we?
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Turning problems into opportunities. So, you know, you might find that you have to walk away from something that you love. How are you going to deal with that? Just find in yourself a new opportunity to replace it. Sit back and think about how you can cope with that. What options do you have? What can you do to make things better for yourself? And then go for it. Don't let someone else tell you yes or no. Just go for it. One of the things that I tend to do is not say much to anyone if I'm dealing with an issue, or I'm going through a change. I might tell a few key allies and that's about it. And then I'll tackle the problem, but I'll also allow myself to think about my options and how I'm going to move through. So I never think that life is limited in that respect. I remain solidly open.
Thank you, Kat. There's just one final thought that I had, and that's something that we also talk about a lot, and that is meditation. And that's something, that's a tool that we can use to become more open-minded too. It is a way to let go of whatever is challenging you at the moment. It's a way to just let go and relax, and perhaps when you come out of it, you can change your perspective. I know that if I'm in a difficult situation that's challenging me and causing me to react or feel something that is uncomfortable, that's a good opportunity for me to sit down and meditate and try to gain some perspective on whatever the situation or feeling is. So that's just one other thing that I wanted to mention. And I have a need to close the show a little bit earlier today, Kat, so I think we're going to skip the meditation. You're okay with that?
Yep, I'm fine with that.
Great. Well, please visit our Facebook page. Would you like to talk a little bit about that, Kat?
Yes, so you can find us at The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. And make sure that you jump on that. You can hear all our past podcasts. And if you would like to have a show about a topic that you're interested in, please send us a message with your topic suggestion. And you can find more of David's shows on Blog Talk Radio at author David Clark. And there you'll find his shows on spirituality and on all things interesting. So make sure that you check out Blog Talk Radio, author David Clark, and you get on to our Facebook page, The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. Click like and suggest to us the topic for the next show.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Kat. And I wish everybody a good day and a good night. And I wish you a good day, Kat.
You
too. We'll talk next week. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye for now.